Welcome to The Range Brief with Blackwing. I'm your host,
Jared Lamey.
So, we get a lot of questions at the shop about AR-15 builds, especially in the barrel department. There's a lot that goes into it between twist rate, barrel length, the gas system, how to make that reliable, the materials on the market. There's just a lot going on. And so to help me talk about today, I've got one of my favorite guys at the shop and a great builder. I've got Cam. Cam, you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Cameron Yeldsums. I work in shooting sports development at Blackwing. You'll probably see me around at the range.
Yeah, and you've helped many people with their home builds, I'm sure.
That is correct. I've seen countless rifles, both good and not so good.
Man, that could be a podcast on its own, just talking about the... We won't talk about it, but yeah, man, we've seen,
go into it.
They've seen some stuff for sure. So I think where we should start is probably twist rate. Do you agree?
Yeah, twist rate is a pretty fundamental choice when you're starting to select which barrel you're going to go with. So twist rate is how many inches it takes in your barrel to make one full rotation around. That rotation is important because it's going to provide your round stability when you shoot. Most typically, you're going to see a 1-in-7 twist. That's more of like the military standard, and it's optimized for 77 grain ammunition. That's going to be on the heavier side for AR-15 5.56 ammo. Now, just beyond that, which is a great middle ground, is 1-in-8 twist. So every 8 inches that bullet is making one rotation. With this twist rate, you can shoot the cheap 55 grain, your 62 grain, 77 grain, but it's going to be optimized around that 62 grain. 1-in-9 twist is going to be around your 55 grain, and there's also 1-in-12, which I've never personally seen, but it's been known to cause some problems with stability.
Yeah, so 1-in-12, that's the original M16 twist rate, and it was truly designed for 55 grain. You still see it on M16 clones, but also guys who are shooting like 45 grain varmint ammunition, stuff that's all about velocity and trying to stabilize that little bullet. But Cam's right. Generally, 1-in-7 is the most common. And if you're shooting 77 grain or 68 grain bullets, if you're trying to shoot match ammo, that's what we recommend. But man, 1-in-8, honestly, is like a great middle ground of compromise. It's going to stabilize everything fine. 1-in-7, honestly, stabilizes 55 grain fine.
Yeah, you're going to cover all your bases with a 1-in-8. But really, I mean, unless you're looking for peak, like match grade accuracy, you're not going to worry too much about your twist rate. You're safest just going with like a 1-in-8 or a 1-in-7.
Yeah, I would agree. Stay away from 1-in-12 unless you're trying to get clone correct.
Yeah.
So I guess the most common question we get, and probably the most that we have in this conversation, would be barrel length and considerations for that. Where should we start? Stop at the high end?
I think we start at the top where 5.56 was designed. So 5.56 was designed to be around 20 inches for your barrel length, and that got you a velocity of 3,100 feet per second. And this was optimized for the M16. At this range, you're getting like around 600 effective like ballistic yardage out of the rifle. And then if you go down just to 18 inches, you don't really lose too much velocity there either. It goes down to 3,050 feet per second. And you're shortening the rifle by a couple inches. So either 18 or 20 inches, this is where you're going to build like your good hunting rifles. Where you're able to like reach out pretty far to around 600 yards for hunting some game. And you're also going to have a very soft shooting rifle because it was designed for this gas length.
Yeah. And so Cam is talking about, when he says range, it's about how much time the barrel has to, or the bullet has to burn powder. So the longer the barrel, the more time the gun has to burn powder, the faster the bullet goes. 20, 18 inches, you're getting almost maximum burn. The cartridge is designed to burn all of its powder in that barrel length, making maximum velocity. When he says 600, he's talking about when that bullet will stop being supersonic. So around 600 into 700, the bullet is still supersonic. It's pretty predictable of where it's going to go, and it's still going to have maximum effect on target. Still very lethal at that distance with that barrel length.
Yeah, you could absolutely shoot that far with a shorter barrel, but the 18 and 20-inch barrels are going to be your most effective in terms of how hard they hit out to 600 yards here. Now, stepping down from there, down to 16 inches, this is going to be your most common barrel length for rifles. And that's because this is the threshold where where the NFA comes into play. It has to be at least 16 inches long to still be considered a rifle by the ATF. Still very good velocity at around 2,800 feet per second, and you're getting very good ballistics out to around 500 yards.
Yeah, still a great barrel length. Definitely the most common. You're going to see that on at least 70% of modern manufactured guns because, what Cameron said, you just don't have to worry about NFA stuff. In any state, you can travel with your gun. But there's kind of the industry is moving towards a shorter barrel with a pin and welded muzzle device. So you'll see that on like stock Geissele's, you can buy shorter barrel guns. And with that pin and weld, it brings that overall length to 16. What are some of the advantages of that, Cam?
So I actually built a 13.7 inch barrel. And when you pin and weld a muzzle device, you are permanently fixing that muzzle device to that barrel. You are unable to remove it with any kind of tool or wrench in the field, which is what the ATF wants. It'll still be defined as a rifle if at the end of your welded muzzle device you hit 16 inches. Now this lets me get the barrel as short as I possibly can, and with my muzzle device I hit 16. That way I can run things like, mine's a Son of Liberty Gun Works and it's optimized for a dead air mount. So I can run my suppressor on top of there and not have it stick out like a good 3 extra inches off the gun.
So it's a great balance of handiness in the rifle, but also you're not having to fight or pay a tax stamp or like get in any gray area as far as legality.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a pain because likely you're not going to be able to do it yourself, but at Blackwing we have the service available where we can pin and weld the barrel for you, and it really doesn't take like a ton of work here.
And if for some reason you change your mind down the road, it's just a pin. The pin can be ground out and it can be removed. It's just it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, you're not toasting your barrel by any means.
Yeah. So, but I mean, lots of companies make them stock. Geissele, Daniel Defense, you can buy. Can you think of any others that are come in stock?
Mostly Geissele and Daniel Defense are what I've seen that at least sell pin and welds. Also Nevesky.
Oh yeah, right on. So you can buy those, you know, factory direct with that shorter barrel length. Very handy.
Yeah, they're hot on the market right now because, again, you're avoiding the ATF.
And 14.5 is still no slouch when it comes to ballistics. I mean, that's what the M4, the Army's.
Yeah, you're only service rifle. You're only losing like 50 feet per second, stepping down like that extra inch or so, still maintaining around 2750 at the muzzle.
Yeah, so still a lot of lethality. And then by the time you put a suppressor on it, you're kind of at that M16 length. You add 6 inches of suppressor, and there now you're at your typical musket length.
Yeah. And like honestly, on my 13.7, I don't really notice the can dragging the gun down too much. I've put it on my 16 and my 18, and it gets pretty heavy out front. But when you get into those pin and weld lengths, having that fixed muzzle device is quite nice.
So then I think where we go now is short-barreled rifle. And this is really where the topic is, I think, the most fun. Because these are the guys who are actually interested in what are you sacrificing to go shorter and what are you gaining?
Yeah. Once you get down below 16 inches, again, this is where like the NFA comes into play. If you need to make your gun either into an SBR or it's going to be a pistol that's uncomfortable to shoot, especially with how you have to gas these guns when you get below 16 inches. So in SBR territory, my favorite length, if you're not going to be running a suppressor, is 12.5 inches. This is going to both gas the gun very well, which we'll get into next in terms of like all the gas settings and whatnot, because when you get down below 16, this is when the rifle really starts to fight itself. But you're still going to get 2,600 feet per second good out past 300 yards in terms of being ballistically effective.
Yeah, if you break it down by what you're going to do with the gun, if the gun is primarily like your home defense gun, you're not shooting at any real distance, this is where these calibers come into play, are these barrel lengths. But 12.5 is still pretty capable. I mean, I would not hesitate to shoot, and you can shoot at 500 to 700 with 12.5. You're just going to be fighting the wind like crazy because the bullet is running out of gas. But you can still do it with a 12.5. It's the internet's favorite barrel length, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Just below that 11.5, this is going to be what would be considered now the best length if you're going to be making a gun to be a suppressor host. This still gets you really good velocity, like around 25-60 feet per second effectiveness, and it's going to be still soft on the gas system. It's not going to be beating up your parts or anything, and like you're still going to get out a little bit past like 300 yards.
Yeah, so this is like the minimum viable for a lot of manufacturers. They won't actually make a barrel shorter than 11.5 and put it in a duty gun. You look at like Knights Armament. They don't make anything shorter than 11.5.
11.5 has kind of become like the new military standard for SBRs.
Yeah.
And as opposed to what was the 10.5, which we're going to talk about last. 10.5 was made famous with Daniel Defense's Mark 18. And this was the shortest that is considered like ballistically good and reliable out to around 200 yards with 5.56 ammunition.
I mean, and it's no slouch. I mean, dudes have been kicking ass with that cartridge or that barrel length and that cartridge combination since 2001. You know what I mean? So it's proven, it's been around. It's just not as statistically reliable as like just a one more inch of barrel gains you a lot of reliability.
Yeah. You're getting a lot more like softness out of how the gun shoots. Just that extra grab and velocity on the round is really helping you out. And when you're putting a suppressor on an 11.5 inch gun, you're getting pretty much around where like your stock 16 inch AR is in terms of length.
Yeah. And with that 10.3 barrel, you've almost cut the overall barrel length in half from what the gun was originally designed to do. So you're getting a lot of unburnt powder. You're getting a lot of, kind of lost my train of thought there. You get a lot of unburnt powder.
You get a lot of flash out the gun. Like if you've never shot one of these with like, you've probably seen them in the range. They're super loud, putting out a bunch of fire. Like this is where muzzle devices like really shine. If you're like going to run like flash hider suppressors, this is where the stuff is really important.
But what's great about that 10.5 inch barrel is when you put a suppressor on it, man, it's a super handy gun. If you are doing a lot of stuff, like if you're clearing houses or law enforcement, or you just want something sweet, that is kind of the gold standard in suppressed guns still being really light, really handy, and all around awesome.
Yeah. Personally, my suppressor host is a 10.5 inch barrel, mainly because I have that 13.7 to kind of be my mid-range gun. And then I have like a 16 inch to kind of be more of like my long distance gun. So just kind of like picking and choosing where you want to have like your strength. So really short strength for me was 10.5, medium 13.7, and then longer range, you're going to want like 16 or 18.
So, and I think that's a great point of like catering the upper and the barrel to whatever you want to do with the gun. If the gun is a home defense gun, man, make it short, make it stubby. Before this whole pistol brace shenanigan, it was really easy to be like, man, this is kind of a win-win. You can still travel with it. It's got all the same capability, but now it's not as cool.
Yeah, trying to fight back for our rights for keeping our truck guns.
And but like 10.3 is the worst choice if you're going to shoot past 100, because the bullet is subsonic, at 200 yards. I mean, that bullet is just so slow.
It's losing velocity quick. But I feel like people make the misconception that the round is not accurate when they shoot like a shorter barrel. You're by no means like losing accuracy when you go like with a shorter barrel length. It's all comes down to like the manufacturing, how well the barrel is made and whatnot. You're losing all the ballistics of their round.
You know, that's a great point. I think a lot of people think if they want to have a really accurate gun, they got to have a big gun. It's got to be 18, 20 inches, but that's just not true.
Yeah. You could be shooting out of a 20 inch barrel, shooting really bad ammunition with, I don't know, like $100 barrel that you got used off your buddy. Ooh. And you can't hit the broadside of a barn at like 500 yards. Man, this thing sucks.
It's keyholing at zero. Yeah, that's not good.
So the length has nothing to do with accuracy. All about how long that round is going to be ballistically viable for like defense or for hunting.
Yep. It's all about burning powder. So what goes in, what the next question would be, what gas system do I choose, and what are they available? Like, what are the advantages?
Yeah. This is another very important part when it comes down to kind of building out your barrel length on your rifle. So if we're sticking around with the rifle length, like the long rifle length barrels around 18 to 20 inches, they're going to get a rifle length gas system. This is going to be the best for the AR-15 platform because it has the advantages of dwell time, and also that round has more time to burn off of its powder.
Cam, break down dwell time for me. What does that mean?
Oh, gotcha. So dwell time is the time that the round passes the gas port and it has time to build that pressure to send it back through the tube into the action before the round exits the barrel.
Yeah, that was a great explanation. And if that still sounds kind of confusing, if you just Google search AR-15 gas system, you'll see all kinds of little lit diagrams and it'll show you. But basically, the more dwell time you have, the more reliable your gun.
Yeah. The more gas you're going to feed back into that, the harder the action's going to cycle. And that's going to become more important when we get to the shorter lengths. But up there in the 18 and the 20 inches, you're going to get that rifle and gas system, super soft shooting, super reliable. That's what the rifle was designed around. Stepping down to 16 inches, a lot of the rifles nowadays are going to come with the mid-length gas system. Still very reliable and low recoil, a little bit less than the rifle length, but I mean, I shoot mid-length gas systems on both my rifles, and it makes a huge difference compared to when you're shooting on a carbine length system.
And you really only see mid-length on like 16 and 14 and a half inch guns.
Yeah, like your pin and weld guns and like your 16 inches.
And it's the softer recoil because it's not such a violent amount of gas.
Yeah.
Like if you have a 20 inch barrel and you had a mid-length gas system, it would be probably more reliable, but you'd also be putting a lot more.
You're putting more stress in your action.
Yeah.
You're also getting more of that felt recoil because you're getting more gas back into the gun.
Yep. Carbine is the most common. That's the M4 length.
Yeah, carbine has been like the most popular system. In fact, my first 16-inch AR came with a carbine gas system. And honestly, like that rifle had a decent amount of recoil, especially I noticed when I switched to a mid-length gas system on my AR. I was like, wow, I can really tell the difference.
Yeah, so more dwell time, more reliable, but also more dwell time, more gas. So yeah, more violent, more energy.
So 16 inches, you're best going with like a mid-length gas system is what we've been seeing. And then if you step down to the carbine length gas systems, this is what you're going to want to be running on like your SBRs, like the 12 and a half, the 11 and a half, 10 and a half. But these are usually going to deliver more gas to the rifle as well. So when you're at like 12 and a half and 11 and a half, those rifles are pretty soft shooting because the dwell time isn't so aggressive. When we get down to 10 and a half, that's when the rifles had to have like bigger ports actually drilled into the barrels to allow more gas back into the system.
So if you look up, if you're shopping for barrels and you go to Daniel Defense's or Noveski's website, they'll tell you all this information, and then you'll see a number that says, you know, here's the gas system length and here's the gas port size. If you have like a 0.70 is the typical Mark 18 10 and a half inch barrel gas port size. That is huge. That's a big hole.
Yeah. It is putting a lot of crap back into the action.
Yeah. And if you're running suppressed, that's designed so that because it has almost no dwell time, there's like an inch and a half of barrel past the gas block. So it doesn't have a lot of time to build pressure. They compensate by putting a huge hole in the barrel so they can dump more gas more quickly.
Yeah. Makes the gun super reliable. But if you've ever shot the Mark 18 at the range, you know how much gas it spits back in your face.
Yeah. That reliability has a cost. And that's so it can run suppressed. If you were never going to run the rifle, or if you were only going to run the rifle suppressed, you could get away with having that smaller gas port.
Yeah.
If you look at like Hodge Defense, or if you're buying a barrel from Centurion, that gas port size goes from 0.7 to, or 0.07. It goes to like 0.06, which makes a huge difference in how much gas the gun is taking. But you also take a big hit in reliability if you're going to run it unsuppressed, because there's not enough gas at that point.
Yeah. If you know that you're going to be going down to these short lengths and you're going to be working between running suppressed, running non-suppressed, or unsuppressed, sorry, you might want to go with an adjustable gas block, because then you are the one in control of how much gas the system is getting. I actually just helped somebody tune their rifle today. I showed him how to tune it to run it without a suppressor and with a suppressor, because he was getting just beat up with all the gas coming back in his face. And we got him tuned to a place where he was very happy with it.
Yeah, there's just no free lunch, right? Unless you're going like a switch block from Noveski, there's not like a quick way on the AR to switch between settings. Sort of like the Bootlegger? Is that the name of that company?
Yeah, I believe that one has like a keyed adjustment on the bolt carrier group that's pretty easy to access with like a screwdriver or something.
But you just can't run on those really short barrels, you can't expect great performance suppressed and unsuppressed. It's either going to be over-gas suppressed or under-gassed unsuppressed.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to pick which one you're going to do the most often and tune the gun to that, especially in those really short barrel lengths. If you want reliability for either one of the, you know, if you're going to run your can sometimes, most of the time not, go with a longer barrel because you'll get a lot more generous function function width.
Yeah. The longer your barrel length, the less crap you're going to put back into the action, the less gas is going to be delivered to you as the shooter. It's going to be an overall better experience. But if you want a short gun with a suppressor on it, so you're not like hanging out 26 inches in length, then you're going to have to make compromises and use tools like the adjustable gas blocks to get your rifle where you want it to be.
Yep. All right. So next up would be barrel material. And I think the three most common would be your chromoly, military, standard barrel. The most popular right now is probably Cold Hammer Forge barrels. That's the hotness. And yeah, Stainless steel. Cam, break down the differences in those three for me and then tell me your preference.
So 4150 chromoly steel is going to be probably the most popular barrels on the market. They're going to come with most like out of the box guns. They're usually cut rifled, which produces decent accuracy. They have good like corrosion resistant linings in them, like chromoly vanadium. You're going to get like a decent life out of these barrels, usually around 15,000 rounds. Cold hammer forged is when they actually use like a rifled blank and they hammer the barrel around that blank. This is getting you a little bit more durability, but it's going to be at a decent amount more cost. You're only gaining maybe, I don't know, 5,000 rounds extra life out of it.
Yeah, it's all about usage. If you're hammering it every day, like with a machine gun, you're going to cut your round count way down because heat's just going to melt out the throat and the gas port of the gun. But like generally, a Cold Hammer Forge barrel will last 20,000 rounds.
Yeah. These barrels really shine for like the high round count, high heat guns, like machine guns. You're totally fine with going with a 4150 chromoly steel barrel. They're usually very accurate. And then one step beyond that are the stainless steel barrels. These aren't as durable, but typically manufacturers use this steel to get better accuracy.
Yeah, so stainless steel is actually, of the three materials, is the softest metal. So it's easier for them to cut very precise rifling, and that's why you see match guns with stainless steel barrels and 5R rifling, or you know, the very exacting standards and in internal dimension. It's just easier to do with stainless steel, so it's the most common.
Yeah, if you're building like a match gun or a hunting rifle, stainless is going to be an excellent option for you. It's going to likely get you the most accurate barrel. And if you're not going to be putting like a ton of rounds through it, like out on a hunt, you're probably going to take like just a few shots. You're not going to be burning the crap out of that barrel like what you're going to need Cold Hammer Forged or even like the chromoly steel barrels for.
Like 10K at a moderate firing pace, 10,000 rounds is probably appropriate for stainless steel.
About 10,000 rounds before you start really losing accuracy.
But you were saying you really like just the standard barrel length or barrel material, right?
Yeah, I really like 4150 chromoly steel, and like they're very accurate barrels on the market nowadays. You can easily get sub MOA with most of the manufacturers out there if you're shooting the right ammo out of your gun.
I kind of agree with Cam. Cold hammer forging is awesome. Like I would never turn down a cold hammer forged barrel. It's just a lot of cost. Typically, you know, another $100 if you just got a straight barrel for 5,000 more rounds of life. You know, it's a 25% increase. How many dudes are putting 20K on their barrels? Yeah. If you're like in a hardcore training cycle and you're shooting, if you're shooting that many rounds in a train up, or if you're a military and you're doing it before a deployment, right on. That way you don't got to switch anything out and the gun's still good to go. But man, I'm not shooting 20,000 rounds in 5 years, let alone a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's the cost benefit analysis doesn't play out for me, but man, there's Daniel Defense, Geisley, both come with some of the best barrels on the market. They're very accurate. They're cold hammer forged. Why not? I think a lot of people say, I'll buy the best.
Yeah. They want like the barrels to last for the life of their rifles. if you're shooting out of a cold hammer forged barrel, you've probably shot the rest of the rifle out too.
Yeah, it's time to just replace the whole thing. New upper. Stainless steel. I really like stainless steel, especially that 10,000 round mark. You typically get, you know, your Douglas, your Schillings, your Krieger barrels are all stainless steel. It's just the most common. And you get a lot of predictability and consistency out of those.
Yeah, the stainless steel barrels are what you're going to see on more of the premium rifles that are supposed to be shooting like half MOA groups out there.
I feel like we got to hit barrel profile, H-bar versus pencil profile, and you know, all the other types. H-bar being heavy, standing for heavy barrel.
Yeah, high heat, high rounds. It's going to stay shooting straight.
Yep, it's going to. So it's just, it's overkill in my opinion. Let's see, machine gun thing.
You are likely not going to need an H-bar barrel. You're not going to want to be dragging it around.
And then like I'd say the medium contour is probably the most popular. That's what you see on most stuff.
Yeah.
Next would be M4 profile.
Yeah, like government profile. Typically a little bit thinner towards the chamber. I think it's less popular nowadays. And then it widens out a little bit past the gas block.
Yeah, it's thin in the worst part, which is the chamber. Generally, you want a gradual taper from where the bullet enters the rifle or enters the rifling, and then a gentle taper to the muzzle. But the M4 government profile barrel does the exact opposite of that. It gets skinny at the near the chamber, and it gets real fat and has a weird cut in it for a grenade launcher. Oh, probably, I mean, don't buy that
one. It's government profile. Yeah. What'd you expect?
Makes the least amount of sense. Yeah, I think you would agree that is our last recommendation or profile.
Yeah. Taper profile is my personal favorite. You get the thickness up towards the barrel nut where the high heat's going to be, and then it tapers down where you don't want weight on the gun. You want the lightness to be at the front of the gun.
And then pencil.
Pencil's thin throughout.
Yeah, it's just a skinny barrel.
But if you're making, like, say, a hunting gun, you want to carry it around, like, Colorado or whatnot, out on a big hunt, only shooting a few rounds, you're not going to need that sustained accuracy. So it could be a good profile for you.
Yeah. So the heat, as the barrel heats up, the barrel will flex and bend, become less rigid as it gets hotter. So that's why people like heavy barrels. The barrel stays cooler, longer, stays more consistent as you heat it up. So like with a pencil profile barrel, you might shoot 30 rounds and start to, like, if you shoot 30 rounds rapidly, you might see your zero start to shift. With an H-bar, you might get 3 magazines before you see the barrel start to shift.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the breakdown on contour. What else we got, Cam?
I think that's getting us close to wrapping it up.
I guess we're going to talk about preferences then. What is your personal favorite for your gun, your guns?
I have 3 separate rifles kind of built out in terms of like what I like them to do. So I have like a 16 inch with a taper profiled barrel. Again, it's just 4150 chrome moly steel. But that one gets me out to like shooting accurately around 400 to almost even 500 yards. I haven't gotten a chance to get it to 5, but very accurate. I was getting sub MOA. And below that is my 13.7. That one has more of like the government profile barrel, unfortunately.
Big woof.
But it works just fine for me. It's balanced and weighted how I like. And that one is kind of like my all-around gun. I just have like an EOTech rad down on it, so I'm not trying to shoot out crazy far, but I can still hit targets out to like 300 yards, 400 yards fairly effectively. And then on my shortest gun, which I just have like a small red dot on, that's like my up-close home defense build. And that one's 10.5 inches, and it is fairly gassy to shoot. I have not gotten around to putting an adjustable gas block on it, and it is probably my least favorite.
So if you had to pick one, what would it be?
I really like my 13.7 pin and weld barrel.
Yeah, I think you're right. That 12 to 13-inch barrel is kind of the best all around. You're getting a really short package. Even if it's unsuppressed, it's super handy, but still pretty capable. You get good burn. And then with a suppressor, it's still a great, it's still shorter than an M16 would be.
Yeah. It's a very, very balanced gun. I'm enjoying to shoot that one quite a bit.
Yeah. I'm kind of, I like muskets.
I know you like the long guns,
man. Something about turning a 55 grain projectile into a hollow point with a 20-inch barrel is just satisfying. And what I'm saying there is with a 20-inch barrel, you're getting so much velocity, full metal jacket bullets just evaporate in targets. They're shredding apart. So I'm kind of into that. Even though with the suppressor, she's long.
I get it, yeah. I'm building an AR-10 right now, which is pretty much the same concepts around what we've been talking today. You got like the same thing with like the gas system lengths, the profiles, all that. Just like very similar in terms of that. But I can reach out a little bit further than some of the AR-15 guys.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you step into 308, you just gain so much more distance, right? So much more terminal effect than you do with 5.56. But there's something about having, you can shoot an 18 or a 20 inch gun fast. You can just rip rounds.
Yeah. Low recoil, back on target.
Yep. And 308, even with a 20 inch gun in 308, it's not hard. It's just more challenging, especially if you got to schlup it around.
Oh yeah. I do not like trucking around with that thing.
But yeah, let us know if you guys have any questions. Did we hit everything? I think we got it all.
I think we've gotten everything. I think it's important to hit home on you should be picking the barrel profile, length, gas system around what you intend the rifle to do. If this is going to be your home defense gun, go ahead, shorten it up. If you're not planning on shooting out past like 200-300 yards for like effective ballistic range. If you just want to have like a fun rifle to shoot, just get a 16 inch because then you can swap things around. You're not getting like crazy long, so you're not going to be fighting to get into a range bag or anything. It's a very good, like average rifle length to have. If you want to get up to shooting out real far for distance, really test the limits of your gun, jump up to 18 or 20.
Yeah. And, you know, buy an SBR, a factory SBR, have a 10.5-inch barrel, and then go buy an 18-inch upper.
Yeah. And you can swap stuff around.
You can do everything you want with one lower. But if you guys have any questions, please come in. Cameron would love to help you out. We got lots of cool gear to outfit your gun. And if you have questions, everybody at the shop is knowledgeable and can help you out. Please let us know if you have any questions. Thank you for listening.